This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You see, whenever we mention Dracula, we think of the pop culture reference that goes back to Bela Lugosi's presence in a stage show and, of course, the 1931 Universal film Dracula, which, if you ever read the novel, you'd see it was really only superficially related to how the novel went, but that's another story. We're talking about UFOs right now, and Neil has obviously looked into the history of the sightings going back to the early 20th century. What about older stuff? The airships of the late 18th century, or even things going back possibly to biblical times. What do you think?
Well, I'd like to just finish first is the sighting over Tyne Dock.
Sure.
The object that was seen over there, Tyne Dock is an area that they were proposing to build an HM dockyard, His Majesty's dockyard, a secure area. The stevedores that were led by a man who would later become the Lord Mayor of Sunderland, these are good people. They saw this thing, and the words they used to describe this huge object, they said it darted in the air. But why I thought it was important to finish this story on this note, that it shone down a red beam that illuminated the area immediately beneath the object. And as you will know from the accounts of Rendlesham, in 1980, it's a strange parallel, but what was shone down from above but a red beam? Dot, dot, dot.
Was anybody in Great Britain at that time flying Zeppelins?
Well, we had very small airships. And this, they tried to say that, oh, there's an experimental airship being built on the Tyne. And what people saw was actually the experimental airship. But guess what? There is no record of any, and they said it was for the ministry, so it's got to be hush-hush for the war ministry. No, there wasn't. There was no Zeppelin manufacturer on the Tyne in 1909. In fact, there had been no powered flight over the Tyne at that time. But don't forget, in Great Britain, there's something that's known as the D Notice or other similar agreements that were in existence from the 19th century. So if there is a public figure of power and influence and note with the right connections, these D Notices can be served. So it would mean that that person would not appear in the British press. So, for example, when the Duke of Clarence, as an aside, a man who was accused many years later of being a suspect for Jack the Ripper, when the Duke of Clarence was caught in a homosexual brothel on Cleveland Street, his name did not appear in the British papers. On the continent, you can find him all over the press in France, but not in Britain. So the influence has always been there, that if the powers that be want to kill a story stone dead with a flippant excuse, it can be done.
Yeah, I seem to remember that I think it was the 1990s over England, the rash of triangular-shaped UFOs, that they were hushed up under a D notice.
Absolutely right. Any sort of public panic, they're going to want to kill those stories dead. And that's one of the reasons why, in the early 20th century, that Winston Churchill, later our notable war leader through the darkest years of the Second World War in Great Britain, as a young politician from 1909 to 1911, he pushed for the Air Navigation Act, Now, that might sound very dry, but what that meant was, if there was a foreign aircraft or UFO or anything over Great Britain, although, of course, they didn't use the word UFO, but any flying object over Great Britain that does not have permission to be there, we have the right to shoot it down, because it would be considered a threat. So they were creating laws to protect the skies from the Air Navigation Act, I believe, was 1911, when that was fully passed. But it all began back in 1909. Now, for the early sightings, I am aware of the airship sightings over the American West in the 1890s. And even the story of one of these aircraft crashing, a possible spacecraft, with an occupant who was actually buried in a cemetery.
Yeah, but if you're talking about Aurora, Texas,
yeah,
that's widely regarded as a hoax.
Well, it doesn't surprise me, but it's a great story.
It sure is, but the other thing to bear in mind, Neil, is that it's possible a lot of the 1897 airship cases are made-up stories also.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Do you know that we had, I think somebody had seen it in the press, and there's even a story in the UK of a very, really, really similar, as if somebody's read it in the American press, they've concocted it, and said, oh, it came down in Wimbledon Common in the 1890s. There were even people who have hoaxed stuff in the 1970s to try and infer that landings took place in Great Britain, and I'm sure they said the same thing, tried to start the same thing in America, in the 19th century. And I think it's very sad that that happened, because it muddies the waters. There are some fascinating stories. But the trouble was, people didn't understand what they were seeing in the sky. You know, people many moons ago, you know, in industrial areas, they often didn't have very much of a reason to look up. And if you think of the fleeting glimpses that we have nowadays of UAPs, I think an awful lot of stuff was missed. But it was also explained in other ways. I'm fascinated, and I cannot prove or disprove what you see on some of these religious paintings that date back to the medieval period. But some of the objects that are depicted in the sky alongside angels certainly look like what we might consider as being UFOs.
Yeah, there's even a, I think it's a Leonardo da Vinci painting of, I think it was a Madonna and Child, where
yes,
in the background, like far in the background, is a disc-shaped object in the sky, and there's even like a sheep herder on the ground looking up at it. I mean, and it's not a predominant feature of the painting either. It's just kind of in the background.
I know the painting. I think it's the one where it's got some golden rays coming off around it too.
Yes, yes, that's the one.
And it looks on the painting almost like a bug that somebody squelched onto the canvas in the background. You know, it's not obtrusive, but what is it? What is that? And maybe. There were lenticular clouds, that's what you can see today. I mean, they can be the most incredible cloud formations, and we've all got to be aware of that. But in my heart of hearts, do I think that UFOs were purely a 20th century phenomena? And I don't think so. I think they've been around a very, very long while. In fact, you know, there were ancient alien theorists quite a while before Eric von Daniken. I think of W. Raymond Drake, who wrote the Spacemen or Gods books in the 1960s. And he went into numerous cultural records around the world. It took him a good many years to translate a number of these accounts. But it really does seem like we've been visited by something from above, and some things from above, for a very, very long time.
We'll go into more of that ancient astronauts, and then we'll do Dracula. How about that, folks? Okay. Neil Story, Gene Steinberg, Tim Swartz. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunnybay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunnybay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunnybay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I should mention, of course, there was Brinsley Laporte Trench, also wrote stories like this, wrote books like The Sky People, talking about ancient astronauts. And there was an American writer that you never heard of, Neil Story. I'm sure you never heard of him. Yonah Fortner.
Oh, I say. Tell me more.
Okay. He wrote articles under the name Y.N. Ibn Aharon. Wow. He was a Jewish scholar, and he talked about extraterrestrialism, which was that the God of the Old Testament was E.T., his theory. It appeared in a small magazine called Saucer News back in the 1950s. I don't think anyone even understood what he was talking about because his writing was a little bit stiff and deep, although he was a terrific writer. But he was one of the early people to talk about ancient astronauts. So, Neil, do you think that E.T. or something visited us way back when?
Well, I've always been a great admirer of Arthur C. Clarke. And to paraphrase Arthur, he once said that when people see technology, when they witness technology way beyond their comprehension, it's magic or witchcraft. And I think that he was absolutely right. I think there have been sightings for this. I mean, you look above, we say UFO, UAP. It would not surprise me if some people in the past looked up, they saw them, and these become heavenly creatures, heavenly beings. We can't really rule that up. We look up for both.
What about the reports of abductions where people say that E.T., captured them, took them aboard the spacecraft, things like that. What's your perception?
There are reports of abductions and disappearances throughout history. In one particular incident in 1942 on the Northeast Coast, I've used several examples from the Northeast because I'm particularly, I'm focusing on that area at this moment as I work through the Tyneside UFO Society archives that date from the 1970s and earlier. And there's one particular guy, he was a sentry on duty at a Royal Air Force radar base, not far from New Biggin. Radar was a secret of World War II, you know, and the orders were, as a sentry, if you were attacked by spies or people wishing to overrun the base because it could have been a German raiding party, of course, you open fire, you defend it. But if you spot enemy vessels at sea or enemy aircraft, the orders were not to fire at them, because they would travel very quickly along the coastline, and they would look for where they were fired at, and they would realize there were the gun emplacements, or there were military personnel there, and on the next raid, that would become a target. So this poor old boy, he's guarding this Royal Air Force base. It's very late at night. It's a moon's in the sky, plenty of cloud, and he sees what we would call a UFO in those days. There was no name for it. During the Second World War, there were sightings in the sky. Their code name, given to them by the members of the Royal Observer Corps in Great Britain, were FINO, short for aerial phenomena, that couldn't be explained, FINO. So what on earth is this guy seeing? Is it a secret weapon coming towards him? Is it some sort of bomb? What could it be? But he spots it between the clouds, and before he knows it, this object is coming down towards him. Does the man pass out in fear and have a nightmare? What he says happened was the next thing knew, as this thing bore down upon him, the next thing he was aware of, that he was collapsing to the ground, his rifle left his hand, and the next thing he knew, he was on board that spacecraft. And he's travelling at quite some speed over the sea. He is aware of beings around him. He couldn't really describe them. There's clearly some sort of window that he could see, or a panel that he could see out of over the water. And it seemed that in no time at all that he was back on the floor a short distance from his rifle. Certainly the rifle hadn't, you know, maybe 10 foot. From his rifle, as if he'd been beamed back down. Can you imagine if it really is beyond your experience, what that would do to you? incredible. He spoke about it in a little bit later life. The story started to emerge in the 1950s. You know, he could have embroidered it, given the great detail of the creatures that he saw or experienced, but he didn't. It was a simple story for which he wanted to find answers. I've interviewed a few people over the years who believe that they have been abducted. Some, I have to admit, I'm not entirely convinced. I think they believe what they're saying, but what they truly experienced, I don't know, and I'm not medically qualified to explain what they say to mine. And who am I to judge? I'm a historian, and I respect people for their beliefs. So it's a tricky thing, but you and I, we all know that tragically around this world, thousands of people go missing every year. Many people turn up. Some people don't want to be found, but the police find them and they know that they can close that case. But what about those who simply disappear, literally disappear into thin air? Could they all be taken by serial killers and people wishing to do sinister things? Or could they be abducted?
We always think, though, when we talk about UFO abductions, that the person is taken aboard the craft and after a short period of time, they are returned. Not that they are captured and they never show up again. And we can think here, and I don't know how many would reflect it, as some of you mentioned, some people may just not want to be found for whatever reason. I think there have been times in my life where I thought to myself, hey, I could just disappear somewhere and that's it. But then I need to go to Walmart to buy some paper towels and it doesn't work out so well. So for me, it wouldn't work disappearing myself. But I could see where some people might want to do that. I could see where criminal acts are involved. Things like that. I don't know in terms of what David Pilates, that's the name of the guy, right, Tim?
Yes.
Where he's written about this, about strange disappearances, whether it has some other kind of explanation. There's also a theory that you've heard about, I'm sure, Neil, about multiverses. That
yes.
Some or all
yes.
UFOs may come from another dimension, and people under certain circumstances might find themselves in another reality, and they have no way of getting back. That might be fun.
I think you're absolutely... It's possible, and you know, the more that science delves into this, the more these realms and dimensions and universe upon universe becomes more science fact than science fiction.
We'll be back with Neil, Gene, and Tim. You're in
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News Update. Leaders from Los Angeles and San Diego are assuring residents that their cities are prepared for Hurricane Hillary.
We're not waiting for the storm to hit. We have already begun working 24/7 to be ahead of the curve and to be ready as soon as the storm reaches our shores.
Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass, Hillary expected to make landfall as a tropical storm Sunday night or early Monday morning. Former President Trump is reportedly planning to skip the upcoming Republican debate and instead will be interviewed by Tucker Carlson. The debate, hosted by the Republican National Committee, will air Wednesday on Fox News. The number of stabbings and slashings is surging across New York City, and experts are blaming left-wing reforms for the increase. NYPD data shows a 26% increase in the number of blade attacks citywide since 2019. A retired NYPD sergeant blames the spike on legislation signed by then-Governor Andrew Cuomo. John Schaefer, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
So long and short, Neil Story, you don't dismiss the possibility of a multiverse out there that may be at least one of the explanations for UFOs and possibly even strange disappearances.
I think it would be foolish to dismiss it out of hand.
Do you think we'll ever have an answer?
I think we'll get close to an answer. And I feel that as time goes on, there's always been this concern that if it is revealed that there are extraterrestrials interacting or visiting, interacting with people or in some way with the world, or they are visiting this world. I mean, to be honest, I think it would be rather arrogant of us as a race to think that we could be the only people in all the universes of the world, the only people who could devise space travel or interdimensional travel. I think it would be a very arrogant thing to think that we could be the only ones.
So do you think, therefore, that in and of itself, the odds favor that UFOs are extraterrestrial, at least some of them?
Well, that book is very much open. I mean, we talked about dear old Lord Clancarty Brinsley. He was very much of the opinion that there was something under the water, under the oceans of this land. There are powerful arguments, very compelling arguments, that it could be some form of interdimensional travel, or it could be my mind, because I'm not a scientist, I'm a historian. My mind is open to the possibilities. The minute we shut our minds to possibilities and wonders is when we shut our minds to invention and moving forward. in our learning and our experience as a race.
It'd be nice if there's ET out there, because things are such a mess right here. We could use
the help. That's right. It's a seductive escape. You know, people love fiction. They love films to escape in. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lovely idea. And I don't think it is a completely unreasonable and out of the realms of possibility. And would I like to meet somebody from another planet? Well, yes, I would. As long as they come in peace. But that was the old 1950s thing. Anything from this alien to this country is going to come along with a death ray and destroy us. I think a lot of good was done with Close Encounters and E.T. Why not? Why not? Why can't people travel these multi-universe in peace and peaceful contact? It's rather a naive view, in some people's opinion, maybe. But as far as I'm concerned, give them a chance. Say hello. I'd be fascinated. Absolutely fascinated.
It would be fun if it really happened. It really would.
I think so.
I'd love to travel to another planet, but I think I'd prefer the Stargate. I mean, it's 10 seconds. How can you beat that?
Well, that's true. I like that idea. Just make sure that your office desk is not too close to the Stargate, and you know, you start chucking rubbish through it, because you'll get in trouble with the other side. Now, interdimensional littering is a crime. What? Just remember that.
Let us move to another subject. We can talk about UFOs forever. All right? Let's go to folklore. Let's go to one of the most famous books of the last couple of hundred years, maybe? And that is Dracula by Bram Stoker. What got you interested in writing a biography of Bram Stoker?
Did you know that book, first published, Dracula first published in 1897? And when he was friends with, he knew many of the great authors of his day, did our Bram. But Bram Stoker's book has never been out of publication since 1897. And where some of those that were household names in Stoker's day, they've faded. They've gone. This remarkable book, this legacy that Bram Stoker leaves us, I think it has given us the modern horror film. We may have had a few Frankensteins, but without a Dracula, without the reanimated, the living dead, we wouldn't have zombies as we see them today. I don't think so, anyway. We certainly wouldn't have the Twilight vampires. We wouldn't have played. It all began with that one powerful, superbly written book, Dracula. A book that, in its day, was set in a modern world of technology. In 1897, a typewriter was new. There were typewriters in the book. There's travel across continents, fantastic excitement. There's phonographs being used for recording diaries like Dr. Seward. And it's not written in just one voice. It uses the old Wilkie Collins style of using journals and diaries and letters to create the narrative. So it's seductive. I didn't encounter the book Dracula until I was in my teenage years, and I deliberately sought it out. But I've known Bram Stoker's most infamous, horrible, nefarious character for, I would think, the best part of 50 years, for most of my life. Because when I was a kid just starting school, you know, age 5, 6 years old, my route to school, holding my mum or grandparents' hands, went past the cinema. And there were posters displaying the latest shows going up. And it was the golden age. I grew up in the 1970s. It's golden age of Hammer. Hammer Horror, starring Christopher Lee as Dracula. This snarling, terrifying face in Victorian clothes and this cape. the fangs dripping blood. My goodness, Reed, that was frightening enough. I was too young. They were what they used to call X-certificate films. I was too young to even go and see them. But I could go into the local newsagent, and I could buy some Topps bubble gum, which became this sort of dusty kind of chewing gum, or bubble gum stuff, with three cards. Shock Theater, I believe they had them in America too, and they had full-color stills from films like Dracula AD 1972. All they had silly jokes on them, and they were quite lurid, lots of blood and fangs and gore. In fact, they were so frightening, I had to give them to my mum to take them away because they were causing me nightmares. So, that legacy stayed with me. And as I got older and got braver, I wanted to know, who was this monster that frightened me? And who created him?
Well, of course, my first encounter with Dracula was when the Bela Lugosi film from 1931 came on TV. But in general, it was a very superficial presentation of the story. It wasn't listening to narratives from different participants in the story. It was one film, one presentation, and much shorter than the original. And as a matter of fact, also didn't have the blood and gore, because people in 1931 couldn't stand it. I read that people fainted anyway when Dracula tried to drink someone's blood.
It's true. I think Bela Lugosi, I don't think he ever had fangs.
No, he did not, but there was a scene where it looked like the suggestion.
Oh, yes, most certainly.
Right, he didn't do the real fangs, they made the suggestion of what he was doing, not portray it. Neil Story, Tim Swartz, Gene Steinberg, the subject is Dracula. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25% plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, this is James Fox, director of The Phenomenon and Moment of Contact. You're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, there have been a number of Dracula films. You mentioned the one, of course, with Christopher Lee. An incredible actor, but also an incredible storyteller. I used to hear him go on TV shows, and he'd just go on. You say something, and he would do 20 minutes for you. A lot of fun to listen to. From James Bond villain to Dracula and many other monsters, he was terrific. Lugosi became famous from Dracula, appeared in a few more films, and then his career went downhill from there. Always doing B-style movies, as if maybe he accepted anything. His career did not fly as high as Boris Karloff. The other thing, of course, is he did play Dracula one more time in a film from the late 40s, Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. And he was really good there. This is before he started losing a lot of weight because of his illness. He was addicted to painkillers because of a back problem. Very, very sad. His career ended doing some low-budget films for Ed Wood. But what do you think, in reading the book and looking at the culture of Dracula defined by Lugosi, any resemblance at all?
That's a very, very interesting thought to ponder. It's interesting that, you know, that there was the Murnau film, Nosferatu. It was clearly based on the Dracula story. And Bram had died in 1912, but his wife was still around. And she was the woman that took them to court, Florrie. And she actually demanded that all copies of Nosferatu be destroyed, which is why we only had ropey copies and bits and pieces for years and years and years. But that was quite loyal. The Lugosi version actually comes from the stage play, really. And that's where they discovered Lugosi for the role in an American performance of the stage play of Dracula. So it comes from the original adaptation. And in fact, the play came first in 1897 for copyright reasons. Bram Stoker staged, it was more or less a reading rather than a full performance, but a reading of Dracula on the stage of the Lyceum Theatre in London, in the West End of London, where he was acting manager. So there is the legacy there, but I think Lugosi, he gave us an image that it had always been lingering around a bit for Dracula since the early stage plays, which is this idea of the evening suit and the cape, which also taps into the iconic image of Jack the Ripper. You get the Drac and Jack question, you see. So Lugosi brought that to screen like never, ever before. And he nailed it with the accent, the mystique. Because, you know, you didn't know many people that spoke like that on film at that time. Certainly not with their combination of the ruins, the caverns, the dark places where he existed and inhabited. And it's intriguing that Florence Stoker was still alive when the first showings of the Lugosi Dracula were made in Great Britain. It is recorded in the newspapers that she attended the showings, some of the, you know, the screenings in the UK. Maybe somebody didn't think to ask her. Nobody asked her, or at least I haven't found to date, any record of what she thought of the performance.
What was Stoker's interest in the subject to make him write the book to begin with? I mean, I know that he had other, you know, supernatural, paranormal related stories, but why Dracula? What was the genesis of its creation?
Bram Stoker, although he had on the Stoker line ancestry back actually to Northumberland again, to the town of Morpeth, back, that was way back in the 17th century, and the family went over to Ireland. And they married into some very long-standing Irish families over there. And so Bram, as a little boy, and I believe the origins of Dracula can be traced that far back, because Bram could not walk until he was 7 years old. And so he was from quite a large family, but the nurse would have to sit and, you know, entertain him. Family members would have to entertain him. And I dare say he heard some wonderful folk tales. So there are tales of bloodsuckers and succubus and incubus in Irish folklore. It's almost certain he was exposed to them from quite an early age. And you will see from Bram's writing, he was writing from the time he was at university, really. He wanted to be a journalist, I think, really. He had to find work as a civil servant. But he was a theatre critic, so he got free entrance into the theatres. And he wrote stories, short stories, like The Chain of Destiny, when you have three crones come across a bed to the hero of the story in a country house. Not three beautiful women, they transformed in the Dracula story. So you can find the elements of the Dracula story in his earlier works. The mind control fascinated Bram Stoker. Folklore, language, places, travel. Although Bram never went to Transylvania, he read extensively about it. He used Baedeker guides, he used travel guides to get all of the transport rights, maps to create his story. But what he wanted to do, he idolized his boss. His boss was the man who became Sir Henry Irving, the first British actor to be knighted. You see, before that time, acting was not seen as a noble profession. But the Lyceum Theatre, under the Irving had the license. Harry Loveday, he was the man that helped coordinate all the wonderful special effects of the productions. And Bram really made everything else happen. The acting manager looking after the actors, sorting out the tours, all the correspondents. And he worked. He was always in a mortal hurry. And he idolized Irving, and he wanted to write a play. He saw Irving playing Macbeth. He saw Irving playing Faust. Well, in fact, in Faust, Irving played Mephistopheles, this demonic creature that seemed to hold control over all creatures and of the night. Oh, yeah. Irving himself is the original genesis for Dracula, but Bram, and you can learn this, you can see it from his notes, drew on a number of different people, including Richard Burton, the explorer, not the actor. He was a great orientalist, was Burton. He'd also written about, it was called Vikram and the Vampire, Hindu vampire stories, fascinating translations. But Burton was hard as steel, his eyes, oh! And if you think of Dracula with the pointed eyebrows and the lion steely face, that's very, very much from Burton. And then you add in Alfred Lord Tennyson, the poet laureate, the man who wrote Charge of the Light Brigade. He wrote plays for Irving, and Bram became a friend through his work at the theatre, and he noted that Tennyson had a way of showing his canine tooth when he was mulling over his displeasure at somebody. So that's another factor that gets drawn in. But the face that you can compare to the only illustration approved by Bram Stoker for the cover of the paperback edition of Dracula, it shows Dracula scaling down the wall of Dracula Castle. He's got white crew-cut kind of hair, a moustache, and his hair and moustache is white, and his face is quite angular, and you can see from his notes that Bram Stoker drew quite heavily on Henry Morton Stanley, the explorer, for the features of Dracula. Indeed, Bram said that Morton Stanley had a face of a man more dead than alive.
It's interesting to see which actors have played Dracula over the years. I kind of like the portrayal of John Carradine. He had that gaunt look. Think would be appropriate. Of course, then there was Gary Oldman, who can play anything, even Commissioner Gordon in those Batman movies. We'll talk about that and the accuracy or lack thereof of theatrical presentations of Dracula. With Neil, Gene, and Tim, you're in
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you love reading about the mysteries of the universe? Do you wonder what secrets are hidden in the shadows of our own planet? If so, you won't want to miss these two amazing books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll explore the world of the mimics of man, beings that can look like us but are not. They've been among us since the beginning of history, hiding in plain sight, influencing our culture in ways we can scarcely imagine. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll discover the so-called hard evidence of UFOs that's been available for study this entire time, but for the most part has been ignored. These two books will open your eyes to a hidden reality that had been right in front of our eyes all along. That's Mimics, The Others Among Us, and Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. Available now on Amazon.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.